Gandiva, the Bhagavad name Gandiva, Lakshanam, Mark, Arti, a demon named Vitarakavaya, Vajaya, for killing, Deva, all the demigods, Sa, along with Indra, the heavenly king Indra, Shrita, taken shelter of, Yad, by whose, Anubhavitam, made it possible to be powerful, Ajamidha, O descendant of King Ajamidha, Tena, by him, Aham, myself, Adya, at the present moment, Musita, bereft of, Purushena, the personality, Vumna, supreme. Translation. When I stayed for some days as a guest in the heavenly planets, all the heavenly demigods, including King Indra, took shelter of my arms, which were marked with the Gandiva bow, to kill the demon named Nivatakavacha. O King, the descendants of Ajameda, at the present moment I am bereft of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whose influence I was so powerful. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The heavenly demigods are certainly more intelligent, powerful, and beautiful, and yet they had to take help from Arjuna because of his Gandiva bow, which was empowered by the grace of Lord Krishna. The Lord is all powerful, and by his grace, his pure devotee can be as powerful as he may desire, and there is no limit to it. When the Lord withdraws his power from anyone, he is powerless by the will of the Lord. Omagana Timilanda Shaganjana Shalakya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruvayama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimadi Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devam Gauravani Pacharine Nevisesi Srinivari Ashtatade Satarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shri Advaita Kadadhara Shivasati Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is a really amazing little purport. There's a word here called Anubhavitam, made it possible to be powerful. By Krishna's power we can become also powerful. So Arjuna was truly a powerful personality. He was like a Superman, a superhuman personality. So much so that the demigods, the powerful demigods, even requested that this personality come to the heavenly kingdom and protect them with his Gandiva bow. So in today's society, there's so much emphasis placed on superheroes. Our children have comic books and watch movies all about superheroes. They want superhuman powers, you know, and they dress up in their little Spider-Man uniforms and there's fictitious characters like Batman and Catwoman and Superman. I just noticed in the papers today that they're revitalizing again Superman. So every generation has their own Superman. You know, the guy with the cape and flying through the sky. So people really are looking for a hero. And Arjuna is this superhero, super powerful personality, such a powerful personality. So Prabhupada states in the purport that what made Arjuna powerful was that he had this connection with Krishna. Krishna, Prabhupada says, they had to take help from Arjuna because of his Gandiva bow, which was empowered by the grace of Lord Krishna. So he was so powerful an archer because he was empowered by Lord Krishna. We can also see practically how powerful Srila Prabhupada was when he was physically present on this planet. But similarly, and how powerful he still is, in that his teachings are spreading all over the world. Such a powerful personality. The world has changed, in fact. Most of has changed because of Srila Prabhupada's presence on this planet in so many ways. His teachings have been influential in so many areas within our society. We take it for granted, actually. But there are so many different things. Vegetarianism is such a prominent thing. Before Prabhupada came to the Western world, vegetarianism was only something that some freaky sort of people did here and there. But now it's like, it's a common occurrence. Practically every restaurant will provide some sort of vegetarian meal for vegetarians and vegans. There are so many different things. Welfare for animals. Before Srila Prabhupada came to the Western world, people didn't really care about animals at all. The majority thought they had no soul, they were just there for the purpose of being slaughtered and being utilized by humans, human animals. But Prabhupada made people aware that they are also, that animals also have a soul and have a place within the kingdom of God. And so then all of a sudden welfare groups started to spread up for the welfare of animals. And this was all that subtle influence that Prabhupada brought to the Western world. Chanting, kirtan, so many things, calling on the holy name, meditation, so many different things. Yogic concepts, which were foreign to people beforehand. If, say, 50 or 60 years ago you mentioned something about karma or reincarnation, that people would look at you and say, what are you talking about? It's just, these are all influences that Prabhupada, by teaching, changed society. Also, he made people again aware of the true value of Vedic culture and Vedic scripture. Before, there were translations of the Mahabharata, there were translations of the Bhagavad Gita, so many other translations, and really Western people couldn't make hide and hair of it, couldn't understand it. The Max Mullers and the Carl Jungs, all these different personalities who had studied the Vedas, if an everyday person picked up one of their books or picked up some translation of Ramakrishna or something, people would look at it and go, what is this? I can't understand this. Prabhupada's books revolutionized the world and revolutionized the spiritual understanding of this Vedic, these Vedic texts by making them so accessible for everyone. Even a simpleton can read Prabhupada's books and get a great message from it. So these are the legacies that Srila Prabhupada has left. And he is such a powerful personality. He is empowered by Krishna to have done this. Prabhupada said that if the authorities knew the potency of this little man coming through into customs at Boston Harbor, they would never have let him in. You know, because he upset the apple cart so much. He changed society so much. So we will see in our lifetime, and in our children's lifetime, how much Prabhupada will be eulogized and how much Prabhupada will be praised in the future for the amazing influence his teachings will hold. They will be, and Prabhupada has stated this, they will be the law books for the next 10,000 years. Because they hold the truth. They hold the truth. Yes, other scriptures also have the truth, but Prabhupada made this truth accessible to everyone. So this is the potency. So they will be the law books for the next 10,000 years. So this little sadhu, this tiny Indian sadhu that came with a few rupees in his pocket and a box full of books of Srimad Bhagavatams, revolutionized and continues to revolutionize this world, and we are part of that. And just as he is empowered by God, by Krishna, similarly we are also empowered. So Krishna empowers Srila Prabhupada. The message for us is that we can also tap into that power. We can also tap into that power. By the Lord's grace, by the grace of His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, by the grace of our spiritual master in the disciplic succession, in the line in Parampara, Srila Prabhupada wanted that there were thousands, that there will be thousands and thousands of gurus, ladies and men, teaching this Krishna consciousness all over the world. People will become more and more and more interested in Krishna consciousness, and you will witness it in your lives. There is a spiritual revolution that's taking place, and we are part of it. We are part of it, and we have to become empowered as well. So we have to become a superhero ourselves. So I was contemplating this. We actually have to become surcharged with Krishna's energy to actually tackle this problem of materialism that is rampant throughout the material world. So we have to become an empowered group of people, very, very fixed up, very, very focused and dynamic to also change, help Prabhupada to change this world. There was a, you know, there was a race, when Hitler, remember Adolf Hitler, he wanted to actually have a race of people that were superhuman. And his way of doing it was cloning out the ones that were not so crash up. And he called his race an Aryan race, which is the Vedic terminology. Aryans, pure race. The real Aryans are the devotees of Krishna. They are the super race. We are going to develop. We see our little children and that are coming, the next generation, the generation after that. These are superhuman people that are going to empower and change the face of this planet. These little children that are coming through us are demigods that have been waiting for this movement to fructify, to actually become part of it, to revolutionize not this, just this planet, but to revolutionize and change the universe. This is our opportunity. So to be a devotee is incredibly exciting. It's not a mundane thing. We're not just mundane religionists. We're training to be superheroes, super men and women, in presenting Krishna consciousness. So in the Bhagavad Gita, in the first chapters, it was interesting that Bhaktisarva Prabhu was giving class the other day. I listened to his class, and he emphasized the hidden aspects of devotional service, devotional life. And he quoted the verses from the first and second verses of the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you know, the Raja Vidya Raja Guyam. The translations of those verses are, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Arjuna, because you are never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved of the miseries of material existence." And then the Raja Vidya Raja Guyam verse, "This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets." So just like Superman had his secrets, and his secrets were in the ice areas of the Antarctic or something, and he had his secrets, or Batman had his secret caves with all his secret weapons, we also have our secrets, and it's lying here in the Shastras. So secrets of all secrets, the purest knowledge, and because it gives this, the direct perception of the self by realization, it is truly the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. There's no negative side to being a devotional superhero. It's all joyfully, it's all fun. It's all exciting. It's all a blast. It's something that's really invigorating. On reflection of these verses and after listening to the class, I thought of some points. 8 confidential secrets to connect us to the power of the Supreme, to develop our transcendental superhuman superhero powers. I remember when we were raising our children, we had a Sankirtan team that was pretty fired up. People like Nisringa Dave and who else was it? Oh, so many people. And these were brahmacharis, and they used to go out, and our kids would model their lives after them. And they would say, I want to dress just like Nisringa Dev, you know, because he was like so big and powerful, and shaved head and so on. So we also used to have plays called the Sankirtan Man. So we had Superman, we had the Sankirtan. Remember the Sankirtan Man plays? And Sankirtan Man would burst in and present books to people, and they would all be liberated like that. And his cape would be his, like he would swing his, like for a sannyasi, you've got the begging cloth, right? So he'd swing the begging cloth around and come into the room with a Bhagavatam, So this was Sankirtan Man. And we had Sankirtan Man, he's everywhere, So this was the mood. So these superheroes. So we have to develop our own transcendental superhero powers. And I went through and I thought there's 8 that I can figure out. It's only a personal thing. To gain the power of first one is to cultivate Krishna's presence in one's life. Cultivate Krishna's presence in one's life. The more you can cultivate an environment that is conducive to Krishna consciousness, the more Krishna's presence you will carry with you. So we have to change all our environment. There is not one area in our life that we don't saturate with Krishna consciousness. So our car, a little thing to remind us of Krishna in the car. In our home, we put things in our home. Our home becomes a little temple. Our workplace, we have a little thing of Krishna at our workplace. We have a little picture of Krishna in our wallet. Every time we open up our wallet, it's all to remember Krishna, to stay with Krishna always, to carry the presence of Krishna everywhere you go. The more of his presence you carry, the more power you have. Like when you're, driving, if you didn't have a picture of Krishna in the car or something like that and someone cuts you off, the first thing you do is,
what the hell are you doing?
But if you see Krishna's picture, you go, easy, don't get angry, and you're able to control it. So Krishna's presence keeps us in a good consciousness. Always think of Krishna and never forget him. That's the golden rule for the devotees. Always think of Krishna and never forget Krishna. Chanting, reading, teaching, studying, remembering, shravanam, kirtanam, all these different qualities are to remember Krishna. So there was a survey done recently about remembering something. How is the best way to remember something? And even if a person, say for example, goes to a documentary about some life-changing thing, becomes really enthusiastic because he's seen this documentary. When he leaves the theatre or the seminar, he's incredibly enthusiastic. He goes out and he wants to tell everybody about what he's just learned. The next morning he's still reasonably enthusiastic, but they've found that after a week, a month, it's all dribbled off. It's all forgotten. Who here has taken a personal development course? Someone like Anthony Robbins or any of these personal development. Anybody? Nobody. Good. Because they're a waste of money. those financial brokers that say, you can become a millionaire. You just come to my seminar, and you become incredibly inspired and enthused about it. But then after a month, it's all waned off and you've forgotten about it. So one of the key things the survey did, one of these key things was that if you really want to remember something, you have to have, the only way is to stay enthused, is that you have repetition of that thing that you're wanting to remember. So the golden rule within Krishna consciousness is always think of Krishna, never forget Krishna. So we have to remember Krishna. So repetition is the only way that you will stay remembering Krishna. So this is how Prabhupada was just such a master, such an incredible personality. He constantly made us remember Krishna. The whole Vedic culture constantly makes us remember Krishna. If you pick up the Bhagavad Gita, there's a simple message going through time and time and time again. There's nothing really, outstandingly different. It's a similar thing all the way through. The primary thing, say for example, you're not this body. How many times has Prabhupada stated that? Over and over and over again. We should preach again, over and over and over again. Just the format of our sadhana that we always have, Mangalarti, this and that, chanting our rounds, saying our gayatris three times a day. All this is a way to remembering Krishna. We have to have this constant repetition to remember Krishna. And when we do that, we invite Krishna's presence within our lives. This is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. It becomes a reality. Krishna becomes a reality. Now we also avoid things that grieve Krishna, that Krishna doesn't want us to do, that Prabhupada doesn't want us to do. They're the four regulative principles. We simply follow those principles. And then it actually allows us to be in the presence of Krishna. We know, and we can sense it. Some of us may have experienced this. If you break the principles, what happens? Krishna drifts away. Krishna's not part of your life anymore. Krishna is somehow or other distant. And then, again, you follow the principles, you follow your sadhana, you come back into Krishna consciousness, and then you feel Krishna's presence again. You see Krishna everywhere. But if you're not in Krishna, if you're not inclined and you're wanting to get away from Krishna, then you'll shove the paintings away, the pictures away. You don't want to be near Krishna. So the point is, we have to have Krishna constantly in our lives. The second point that I thought of was to cultivate the Lord's faith in your heart, to have faith in Krishna. True transcendental faith, Shraddha, flows out of Krishna conscious practice. So if you do this practice diligently, faith starts to develop. We need faith. It's the primary thing. We need faith in our Krishna consciousness. You have to have faith. We have faith in so many things, but we need faith in our Krishna consciousness. Faith is born from revelations in the heart, things that spark in the heart. When truth is revealed to your mind and the heart by grace, faith becomes alive inside of you. How many of us have experienced that? You know, we're reading a section of the Bhagavad Gita, or the Srimad Bhagavatam, or the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and all of a sudden there's a realization. It's like, my God, of course. And it's coming from within. It's like an open revelation. And it just develops a faith in you that you think, oh my God, this is amazing. And the thing is, it doesn't stop. It just keeps on going. Even after 30 years, you can pick up the Gita again and there's a section and you go, oh, I never realized that before. And again, you're inspired by faith. If you don't read, there's no input of faith. And you start to diminish in your faith. So this is really important. Again, from that ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, apart from that, I shall impart to you the most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved of all miseries, all material existence. So when you have those realizations, those miseries drift away. Those doubts, those lingering doubts. Is Krishna consciousness really fair dinkum? Is it really true? Is Krishna really a person? Does he really love me? Are the teachings of Srila Prabhupada really bona fide? Is my guru really a true follower of Krishna? So on and so forth. All these doubts will come in, but you have to have complete confidence. And Krishna says, I will impart this most confidential knowledge. It is the purest knowledge because it gives direct perception. It's not that we're just reading some fictional character. Krishna reveals himself in truth. By self-realization, it's perfect perfection of religion. It's everlasting and joyfully performed. My Christian friends would say, from John, from the Bible, 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth will set you free. So this is what they say. It is the duty of the devotee to absorb oneself in this knowledge, read the scriptures, but more than just read the scriptures, we have to study the scriptures. We have to go deep into the scriptures. And lack of faith will soon dissipate. And you'll have solid faith. Now you are extremely lucky. Extremely lucky. I've just noticed on the notice board here, we've got Bhakti Shastri classes, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Vedanta classes coming. In the early days of Krishna consciousness, we had nothing like that. We were on our own devices. You have the opportunity of getting the association with advanced devotees to be able to help you remember Krishna and to study these books and to develop faith. So you're so fortunate. That's now. In the future, it'll be even more expanded, more developed, more seminars, more retreats. You know, you go to a Harinam, a holy name retreat. How enthused do you become? How saturated do you become? How much faith do you develop? You know, because you're having that experience of bringing Krishna into your life. This is going to increase more and more for our children. There's going to be more and more of this for them. So we have to stay fixed. The third one. Add action to your faith. So now you've gained faith. Now you have to put it into action. As Bhaktisara was saying, vidyana. Action in Krishna consciousness. Action in devotional service. Make an effort to perform service to the Supreme Lord in whatever capacity you can do. So the primary thing for us is, we're remembering Krishna, we have faith in Krishna, now let me do something for Krishna. So, don't allow yourself to be discouraged. Don't allow yourself to drift away from service. Stay focused and tenacious. Focused and tenacious. You have to seek out service, because that is your panacea. That is the juice. That is the training to become a super powerful personality, doing your service. Spiritual enthusiasm. Prabhupada said it's all based on enthusiasm. We have to be enthusiastic. If you're in the presence of Krishna, you've got faith in Krishna, in Krishna's words, you have to become enthusiastic. How can I bring this out to somebody else? I want to give the panacea to as many people as I can. So this enthusiasm is of the utmost importance. No matter what you see, set your vision higher. So always see higher of yourself. I can do this now, but I can do better. Know and understand God's will and truth, and allow love to move you into action. So the love that you're experiencing for Krishna, let that move you into action to do something for Krishna. Really allow Krishna to direct your life. Surrender your life to Krishna. Really allow Krishna to direct your life. Whatever, my Lord, I'm going for you. I love you, I just want to serve you. Let service to the Lord be your sole reason for existence. Now that's Krishna consciousness. That's a superhuman activity. Let service to the Lord be your sole reason for existence. I don't want to exist for anything else but service to Krishna. Nothing else means anything to me. And when you have that feeling, when you have that mood from faith and connection with Krishna, it makes it a wonderful place, as is pointed out. It's everlasting, it's joyfully performed. It's just an amazing place. This world becomes an amazing place, saturated with Krishna consciousness. And you become so enthusiastic. And it's the sole reason for existence. There's nothing else. How often do you have it when you have to confront something mundane? Somebody's infatuated about a new car that they've just bought, you know, like a relative or something. They've just bought a new house, or they've just started a new business, or they've just bought a new car. And they're so over the moon about it. Oh, I've achieved this car, I've achieved this house. And the devotee goes to the house or the car and says, yeah, great. You know, and after a couple of years, the bricks start falling down and the tires start wearing out and the motor collapses. It's not such a good car after all, you know. And the devotee is still equipoised, because it's not the major thing in a devotee's life. The major thing in a devotee's life is, how can I serve Krishna? What else can I do? How can I be of service to my Lord? Because I love him. I want to do something for him. You know, unconditional love. A mother loves a child unconditionally. She has to love the child, you know, and do anything for the child. So we have to develop that love for Krishna unconditionally. Just want to love him. This action will release the power of God and produce miracles. This action of just wanting to serve Krishna, just giving everything over to Krishna, just let me serve him, is so wondrous that it produces miracles. Say, for example, your outreach. You know, you're teaching people, you're presenting Krishna consciousness to people. It's an amazing, all of us have felt the power of Krishna within us when we're preaching. All of us, if you've preached, you've felt that power. Krishna actually working through you. You say, my God, I don't know where I got that verse from. I don't even think I've learned that verse before, but it's coming out. And then a direction in preaching, or you have an intuitive thing about the person that's sitting in front of you wanting to know about Krishna consciousness. And it's like you know everything about this person. And you can touch on points which you go, how did you know that? And Krishna is working through you. Have you experienced that? Have you felt that? That's the Lord working through you to encourage that person in their Krishna consciousness. And that then is an amazing experience for you. You see it actually happening. You know? And so these are different things. The fourth point that I wanted to mention was utilize your spiritual gifts. Utilize your spiritual gifts. Each one of us, every one of us, is unique. We're all unique. There's no two people the same. You know, we don't have the same fingerprints. We don't have the same irises. We don't have the same quality of hair. We don't have so many different... You're absolutely unique. Each person. And similarly, we all have unique and special ways to serve the Lord. There's something unique about you that you can develop to serve the Lord. The Lord has given us each gifts that we can use in Krishna service. We have to find out what those gifts are and develop them and use them in the Lord's service. We have to find out, what's my uniqueness? What can I do to serve the Lord? Am I a kirtan leader? Am I expert in making garments? Am I expert in dressing the deities? What is it that is my special gift that I can offer to the Lord? And find it. Find it. And the more you pursue and develop them in the service of the Lord, the more you will have. So once you realize, hey, I'm pretty good at making garments, and then you develop more and more expertise into how to develop garlands. You think, oh, I can do this with the flower, and I can add ribbon to it, and I can do this, and I can make it even more beautiful, and then more, and more, and more, and more. That you become known. My God, she's such a good devotee, he's such a good devotee. They make the best garlands for Krishna. And so this is your gift. There's a Greek word for gifts of the Spirit, and it's called charisma. That's the Greek word for gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of grace. So the more we pursue and develop them in the service to Krishna, the more we'll have. And this example that is given in the Shastras today, in the Bhagavatam verse today, is the Gandiva bow of Arjuna. Arjuna was given the Gandiva bow. Now if Krishna came to you and said, here, Bhakta Johnny, here's Gandiva's bow. First of all, you couldn't carry it, you could go. But Arjuna was a skilled archer, and he got this gift from Krishna. And it's not that he just, oh yeah, all of a sudden, I've got the gift. He had to practice. He had to utilize this bow to become expert. How powerful is this bow? What can I do? To the extent that he was so familiar with this Gandiva bow, he was so understanding that this is the mercy of Krishna, he so trained himself that even the demigod said, my God, get this guy up here, he'll kill the demons for us. This is the power of Krishna. This is the power of Krishna. And this is what Krishna is telling all of us. Even in my own small portfolio of doing public relations work. Okay, I'm a sort of an easygoing sort of guy, and I can talk to people. That, in a sense, is a little gift that Krishna has given. And all of a sudden, there's a realization, actually, is this the gift Krishna has given me? And so what I do is I develop it. I have to be better and better in this area of public relations. You know, I have some ability, but Krishna is saying, okay, you've got a little ability you're giving me there, Bhakta boy. Now, develop this. Learn a bit more. This is a technique you can use. This is how you can push it on. That, so and so forth. And I have to train more and more. And then you actually become powerful. And you have the ability to do wonderful things. We have to work for Krishna. It's not just devotional skills that we should be careful of. You know, there is such a demand in the future for devotee doctors, devotee psychiatrists, devotee counselors, devotee accountants, devotee policemen. We have to be part of society. But we have to be the very best policeman, the very best doctor, the very best scientist. That's Krishna consciousness. These are gifts that Krishna is giving you. If you find that you are comfortable going to university, if you're comfortable doing research work, if you're comfortable with accountancy, and you think that you have a little gift in that area, guess what? That's your superhuman gift that Krishna has given you. Develop it for Krishna, not for yourself. We don't care for ourselves. We've already established that we want only to serve Krishna. So utilize that in Krishna's service. It just dawned upon me recently that this is the way we have to go. That Prabhupada was so emphatic that we should be preaching to the university students, the intellectuals. At our time, it was everybody that was on the street, just the hippies and the guys that were smoking dope and everything, and we became devotees. So we're not the intelligentsia. But you guys that are coming from universities and have degrees and everything, you're the next generation. You're the intelligentsia. Krishna is empowering you. Prabhupada was emphatic. We have to have university students. We have to have the intelligent part of the population to become Krishna conscious. And when you have that, then we can really influence the world. Because, I mean, you think about it. We're going to need, even now, we need devotee doctors. You know, who feels comfortable going to a non-devotee doctor? Who feels comfortable? Can they understand our position, our lifestyle? Very difficult. If, say, for example, we need some marriage counselling or some psychiatric help or whatever, this is a material body, and we all come under different modes and illnesses of the physical body, illnesses of the mental body, and we need to consult with someone. Are you going to go to a psychiatrist and say, my dear friend, I'm suffering psychological depression or something like that? And he says, what are these four regulative principles that you follow? I think you'll be a lot less distressed if you just take some good sex, you know, then you'll be okay. Have a beer and settle down. You know? Hello? So we need devotees, intelligent, educated devotees. So the fifth one that I picked was austerity. It is important to remain austere in one's life. Keep one's life simple, not complicated, just a simple life. Enough to keep body and soul together. Utilize everything in the service of the Lord and remain unattached. Unattached. Not interested. And this is the wealth of the brahmachari. To be unattached. And some people may say, who are grihasthas, oh, I'm off the hook. A real devotee is brahmachari grihastha. Brahmacharini grihastha. Both. So this is the life that we should. We should live an unattached life. There's the quote from Bhagavad Gita: whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. In this way you'll be free from the bondage of work and its auspicious and inauspicious results. So you're free from the karma. With your mind fixed on me in this principle of renunciation, you will be liberated and come to me. So this is the purpose of austerity. The sixth point: feel Lord Krishna's presence. If you want to be sensitized to Krishna consciousness, you need the spiritual eyes and ears. Pramanjana Chavita Bhakti Vilojana. You must put yourself in the place where you can see and hear Krishna. And sometimes that means you also have to pull away from society. And that time, what most of the different religions and spiritual practices is, they state you have to go to a deserted place. What they mean by that is, if you read any of the other religious doctrines and stuff, the sages and the saints would always retreat into either a hermitage or 40 days in the desert or so on. You have to be with just yourself and with Krishna. This is very, very important. There has to be a time in your day, in your life, where you retract from everything else and you just become absorbed in that deserted place, where it's just you and Krishna. Where do you think that place would be? Where do you think that place would be? Huh? In the hive, yeah, but there's a physical place. You have to actually remove yourself. What? I'm playing with my bees here. What? Huh? No? It can be. What? Japa time! Japa time! That's the time that you retreat to your desert place, your hermitage. You are by yourself. The temple can be full of people, but you are with Krishna. That is your deserted place. That is your hermitage. That is your sanctuary. No one comes in that part. Now I'm with Krishna. Communicating and meditating on the holy name of God. That's it. You are with God. God and His holy name are none different. He may not be talking back to you, but he's certainly listening. And this is your communication. This is your communion with God. This is your solitude. And you have to treat it like that. It is your sacred place. This hermitage and this removal from the material world was so important for all the religionists throughout the world. Saint Francis of Assisi, Jesus Christ, Muhammad, all the different teachers, Buddha, all had that retraction from the material world and just stay within just the relationship with Krishna. You need that in your life. And the japa time, Prabhupada's teachings, that our japa time, that hour and a half to 2 hours, is our hermitage. It should be treated as such. It should be such a sacred moment between you and Krishna. And you don't let anything else come in. There's no discussion, as best you can avoid it. You know, and if it has to be, okay, it has to be. But there's no just chit-chat. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, what did you do today? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, the courtyard out there, oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That looks like it's going to rain today. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. That's not solitude. Just really focus on the holy name. Just become completely absorbed. See it as your hermitage. See yourself as Haridas Thakur or Chintamani. You know, the disciple of Haridas Thakur in that little hermitage where she was, shaved her head, just chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I just want to be with Krishna. That's what our japa should be. So this is really important. So when you exercise your spiritual senses by listening to the whole sound vibration of the holy name, the Lord's name will empower you and you become a manifestation of his power. When you really take to this chanting diligently, when you really absorb yourself in the holy name, you become a manifestation of Krishna's power. Just as Srila Prabhupada, just as his disciples that are now teaching us. Empowered. We're getting a personality here, great personality, Jayapataka Swami. I mean, I don't think I've seen a greater personality of pushing on the preaching as he's doing. He's coming to grace us here, you know, no matter what. Oh yeah, I've had a stroke, I'm not well. He's travelling more now than he's ever done. And he's travelling, when he comes here, he's coming from 15 hours travelling from Los Angeles to come here to us in Australia. For what? To give us his association. To actually develop our Krishna consciousness. To help us in our Krishna consciousness. Which brings me to the seventh point. Which is association with like-minded people. We learn from one another and we receive an impartation of power through association. We receive an impartation of power from association. So by associating with advanced devotees, it actually rubs off. You know, so stay as close as you can to these great souls. Get as much association as you can. Even just being near him or her. You know, we just had a great Vaishnavi here. By just having their association, you can feel it. None of us are so dead that we don't feel the potency of these personalities. And you feel it and it benefits you. To have the association, to be in the company of advanced devotees is not only stirring one's faith, boy, he's got so much faith in Krishna. Even he's inflicted with this horrible illness, it doesn't disturb him, he's not upset about it, he's not angry about it, he just wants to keep on preaching. But it also releases a transference of wisdom, revelation, and power into my own life and preaching endeavors. If he can do that, at least I can do a little bit of preaching. That's what it gives us. It gives us that potency. Good Krishna conscious association, whether for meeting with another devotee, for listening to a class or a darshan, for teaching CDs, we have so much facility. We just Google something and we can listen to any of the great teachers within our movement. Videos is crucial for cultivating our Krishna consciousness in our life and associate with Krishna's power, hanging out where he is. Krishna's with them. So let's hang out with them and then we're hanging out with Krishna. I experienced a little bit of that when I had the opportunity to go to Tirupati and I had the opportunity to have the association of all the GBC. It was amazing. I was in that room going, oh my God, there's Jayapataka Swami, there's Shivaram Swami, there's Deva Marita Swami, there's this one and that one. It was like, yay, give me more. It was great. So, we have to take association, but then in the same token, we have to give association. We have to give association. We have to welcome all to Krishna consciousness. Now, there's a little bit of controversy at the moment about the people that come perhaps for the lunchtime meal, for the breakfast meal, for the evening meal, for the 9 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and some of them are a bit down and out, right? And some people are saying, why are these people coming? Why do we let these people come here? This is the temple of God. Why are we allowing these people to come? Prabhupada wanted it. Prabhupada wanted that. He wanted us to feed all the people in this area. That's why we're doing it. Live with it. And welcome these people. Encourage them. They may not be able to take the Krishna consciousness in this life, but surely in the next life they will have a very advanced life, depending on how you act with them. If you treat them in a friendly manner, they will, not necessarily in this life, we have to have a broad vision, but in the next life they could be leaders within this movement because of what you're doing in this lifetime. This is very, very important. Similarly, our children. Some of our children, Burjan Prabhu explained it to me once. I was concerned about my kids because they left Krishna consciousness. They're sort of Krishna conscious, but the material allurement was much greater than what we could offer at that time. And the kids were out there. They were into partying and drinking and so on and so forth. And I said to Burjan, why is that? I said, they're demigods. They're demigods. They want to enjoy. You know. But eventually they'll come to the realization that actually real enjoyment is serving the Supreme Master, Krishna. But while they're here, they're thinking, wahoo, we're just going to enjoy, baby. And that's it. So sometimes, when a parent is able to bring some of these young kids that have been out there to Krishna consciousness to come to the temple, it's a major thing. It's a really big thing. It's they're coming back. Now, the last thing they need is some criticism for them coming. Now, recently, somebody came with their daughter, finally convinced their daughter to come and see the deities. And so she's here and she's infatuated by the deities. She's again enlivened. And then somebody came up to her and said, this is not the right clothing to wear in front of the deities. You will get the curse of Durga. Hello? Curse of Durga? If you don't change your clothing. The kid left was upset. Well done. Good preaching. I don't care if one of our kids come in here with a bikini to see Krishna. I really don't care. It is encouraging. Be welcoming. Bring Krishna to Krishna. Bring these children to Krishna consciousness. Be welcoming. Be friendly. Give your association. Give what your spiritual master is giving you. Give that back to the other people that you come in contact with. Does that make sense? The eighth point that I wanted to mention is be motivated by love. Be motivated by love. Let love guide you in your life. The Beatles were right. Absolutely right. They're ignorant in a lot of things, but the one true thing that they said in all their years of singing and everything, all you need is love. All you need is love. Love of the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be the foundation of everything we do. We have to love Krishna. We all have to fall deeply in love with Krishna. If you follow those steps, you will be deeply in love with Krishna. And without it, this power that Krishna has given you, even in your Krishna consciousness, can lead you to pride and self-inflation. All of a sudden, oh, Bhakti is a pretty good PR person, a communication person. Maybe I can get a job with Ford or something, you know. I'm so good at this, you know. Yeah. All of a sudden you're left again. Once a lion and back to a mouse. So we have to watch out. Krishna will empower you. There's no doubt about it. But don't let this power go to your head. Don't become puffed up. Don't become arrogant that, oh, I'm such a good kirtan leader. Oh, I make such wonderful garlands. No one else can make garlands like I can make garlands. No one can lead a kirtan like I lead kirtan. Excuse me, I've got to lead kirtan. I am the best kirtan leader. Krishna will slap you. Down you go. And you were a lion, now mouse again. And we've seen it within this movement. Big, powerful teachers. Powerful Krishna-conscious leaders. One guy was so powerful, he even thought that I can have a golden toilet. One of our gurus in the early days. He thought he was so powerful, such an emperor. I need a golden toilet to pass through. And so they did that. He's no longer here. Be careful. Krishna will empower you. He was an incredibly powerful person. When he had that Krishna Shakti, boy, he moved mountains. But as soon as he lost that connection with Krishna, he's a mouse again. And he's a mouse now. So we have to be really careful. We have to have this love. We have to be motivated by love. Only Krishna's love. We only want to love Krishna. So without it. So this love is the greatest manifestation of God's power. Without faith, you can't please God. But without love, you can't know him at all. It's only by love, when you're studying these books, when you have a girlfriend, when we were young, well, you guys are still young, but when I was young, you know, and you had a girlfriend, you wanted to find out everything about that girlfriend, you know? And you'd write things and you'd research things. Oh, she goes here. There was a girl that I was totally infatuated with that we used to go to dancing classes, and I had to find out everything about where she lived, what she did, how many brothers she had, this and that, you know? And so this is the same with Krishna. We have to find out everything. But without love, you cannot know him. You won't know Krishna. So this is bhakti yoga. Tesham satatam yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam dadami guru yogam tam yena mama bhajantite. Those who are constantly devoted, serving me with love, I give the understanding, the power, by which they can come to me. Eventually you will come to Krishna. As you apply these principles in your life with Krishna, expect to see glorious powers manifesting in you, released in you and through you, and transferred to others, because it is infectious. If you get a powerful surge, people say, wow, you look pretty good today, Guru. Yeah, I'm powered up, I'm fired up, I want to serve Krishna, you know. Whoa, maybe, you know, I want me some of that, you know. So this is, it's infectious. So there are many out there who are also waiting for Krishna consciousness. As you were waiting for Krishna consciousness. You know, it wasn't that long ago that we were out there going, what the hell does this whole thing mean? Why the hell am I here? I hate what I'm doing. And then somebody gave you a book. Somebody gave you instruction. Somebody gave you halva. And all of a sudden, this is what I'm here for. There are thousands out there waiting that also need Krishna consciousness. And the Lord has given you the power to give it to them. The Lord has given each and every one of us the power to give this sublime knowledge that's going to save them and bring them home back to Godhead. So it is at this time of the year, at this very time of the year, we get a superb opportunity to bring Krishna into the lives of many, many people. Can anybody guess what that time of the year is? Oh, sorry? I didn't hear it. Ratha Yatra! Ratha Yatra is coming! It's amazing. From the scriptures we can understand how important this festival is. We have to understand from Srila Prabhupada's teachings how important Ratha Yatra was to him. Is to him. I want to quote some things from the Narada Purana, the Uttarakhanda, chapter 52, text 12, reveals that the conversation between Lord Narayan and Lakshmi Devi about Purushottama Kshetra, Jagannath Puri. A person who sees the deities there built by the Lord himself will easily find a path to reach my abode. Anyone seeing the deities of Lord Krishna, Balaram, Subhadra at Jagannath Puri during that leisure outage of Rath Yatra means buying a ticket to reach the supreme abode of Vaikuntha, the eternal worlds of no worries. The Lord promises that his devotees who take all pains to gather at Puri during the Rath Yatra will rid themselves of all miseries and may reach the eternal abode of Gokula, Vrindavan, and enjoy their life in association with Lord Krishna, Radharani, and their close associates. It is said that the participants in the festivals will be blessed immensely by Lord Jagannath Krishna by, number one, by the sight of Jagannath's merciful large two-eyed globes. This is how it's explained. The devotees will be blessed with astute purity of mind and spiritual elevation. Two, observing the Rath Yatra will dissipate the sins committed by the embodied persons in past births. Right? This is all Rath Yatra. This is the power. Three, the accompanying person in Rath Yatra will receive the opulence par with Lord Vishnu. We'll get more opulence than Lord Vishnu, even if he hails from a poor family. So this is another boon. 4. Dancing and singing and chanting in the Rathyatra entourage, the participant will be elevated to the level superior to yogis and sages. 5. Active participation in Rathyatra by any means will receive the utmost blessings of Lord Jagannath. This is the opportunity we're going to be giving to people, to see Lord Jagannath again. Our Lord Jagannath that's worshipped here on the altar all the time by us, our lovely Lord Jagannath. Srila Prabhupada said, if you participate in these car festivals, as stated in the scripture, Rate cha vanam drisva puna jamana vijite, if you kindly see these Jagannath deities riding on these cars or these processions, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted Hare Krishna mantra in front of these cars, then according to the Vedic scriptures, in your next life you'll go back home, back to Godhead. This is what we're giving to people. Is that a superhuman act or what? We're getting them out of this material hellhole. This is our job. Those who participate in the festival have a food for thought in the years to come, that it may drag down even the to even the final moments of their life, to affix the attention in the eventful pastimes of Lord Jagannath, as Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita. Towards the end of life, at that time of departing the body, he who remembers me will undoubtedly attain my nature. Whatever a living being thinks at the time of leaving the body, that alone he attains, for being always absorbed in that state. So that's what I've mentioned before. If a person stands up or sees Lord Jagannath at the last moment of their life, that is what they remember. You know how they say that you see your whole life flashing before you? It stops. They say, baby, 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 and then, you know, oh, I went to St. Kilda Festival, and then, boom, Jagannath. And they're 80, and there's many more years to go, but boom, it stopped the Jagannath. And that's what's going to give them the great mercy to go back home, back to Godhead. This is the power. This is the power that Srila Prabhupada wants us to present. Those devotees who always chant and prostrate at the holy feet of Lord Jagannath, uttering the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Ordained by Lord Krishna himself as the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and propagated all over the world by Srila Prabhupada, will be blessed with perfect devotion to the Lord forever. Let's do this Jagannath Rathyatra. So let's make this Rathyatra, Festival of the Chariots, at the St. Kilda Festival, the best that we've ever done. We've got some really interesting things that we're doing. We're getting some fantastic personalities coming. We've got Sri Prahlad coming, Gitanjali. We've got a band coming from Brisbane. I don't know. Was anybody here at the retreat with Satchinandan Swami up at Govardhan? You were there. Yeah, you were there too. Yeah, remember that that young girl, 16-year-old? She's coming. I said to her, you remember her? Beautiful voice. This lady is an angel. She's a demigod sent, isn't she? You hear her singing, you go, oh my God. Everything just wipes away, you know. She's so beautiful, so pure, you know. So anyway, she's coming. We've got the Bhajan Babas coming. Remember the Bhajan Babas? You don't know? Vaina Gopal, Jamajaya, and Jamala Arjun. Jamasmi, actually, and Jamala Arjun. They do the old rock numbers, you know. And they're really good. So with another area that we've got this year is we've got a kirtan tent. So there's a special tent for kirtan and bhajan, meditation tent. So people who are into kirtan, like the stage people are doing, and you can't really, you know, it's nice, but you can't really become a go into a meditative mood, right? So we figured, okay, let's have another tent where we can have meditation, and people can listen to Sri Prahlad or Gitanjali and just go into a mellow and just meditate on the holy name. So that's the kirtan tent. We're doubling, or nearly doubling, the amount of watermelon that we're going to be distributing. Tidharaja ke! Oh boy, he's looking forward to that. Aren't you, Prabhu? Two tents. We're going to have meetings. So this, and prasadam is going to be distributed in a different way, more up front to get the crowds as they're coming over the from Fitzroy Street. So many things, the face painting, the dress-ups, the kids' things, badges, everything will be there. We're getting clowns, musicians, all that will be happening. So it's going to be really exciting. We need your help. We need your participation. We need you to put into action to become a superhero to get this really working well. We have to use your abilities and skills to really push this along and let it happen. It is so important. It's emphatically important. We've got one other thing which Muchukunda Prabhu is going to be heading up. We're getting a graffiti wall.
Street art.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. It's street art. So we're doing street art, graffiti, and it's going to be Krishna's pastimes. And Muchukunda Prabhu is heading that up. He's an artist extraordinaire. His gift that Krishna has given him. He's painting, he's doing graffiti all over Melbourne, doing these wonderful Krishna conscious displays where people see and go, wow, far out, man. That's Krishna. You know? So this is a talent that Krishna has given him. Now he has to develop it. More. What more can I do? And Krishna made the arrangements. Do one at the Rath Yatra. So this is happening for him. We need people to come forward and help sponsor with the finances. Obviously, it's not cheap. This is going to cost money. One of the major sponsors has pulled out. So we're about $10,000 down because we have to bring the cart from northern New South Wales. Unfortunately, we can't get the truck that we had. Well, the truck was financed the last time. This time we have to finance it ourselves. So it means that we have to call on people to be generous and give donations. This is very, very important. The other area is in the area of volunteering to work, actually doing something for Krishna. So during the week I'm going to be putting two big signs up over here on the paraphernalia door, and please fill in where you can help out on the day. And I'm especially asking all the Grihastha men and women that are coming to the temple on an irregular basis, please, if you know, talk to your friends. How can you as a group help? Sri Ram Prabhu is heading up the chauffeuring of people coming from the temple, all the entertainers, all the special guests will be able to park their cars around here and be taken into the compound. So there are so many different areas of service. Tirtharaj obviously will need a lot of manpower to cut up and serve out the watermelons. Another area, and Adrian Prabhu with the prasadam, we need preachers. Ramai Swami is coming. He's coming just for the day. He's arriving in the morning, spending the day, and taking off at night. So he's not a mirage. It's Ramai Swami, Maharaj. So he is going to be here. So that's going to be fantastic. He's going to lead kirtans. He's going to lead the kirtan also for the actual Rath Yatra parade. So, and with Prahlad. Can you imagine that? You know, Ramai Swami and Prahlad Maharaj and Gitanjali. Vaina Gopal, really a good band of kirtaniers, you know. This is going to be ecstatic. This is the event of the year that we really want to work together at. So please, I'm imploring you, please give your full attention. Now I know that somehow or other they've made an arrangement that they have a wedding. Where is she? That there is a wedding happening the day before and the day after. Can you believe this? So Krishna is really calling on all of us to be extra, extra service attitude. No bowing out. Right? Look at the face. We have to push to the max. So we're calling on everybody to do the best they can. You know, Varadatri is such a surrendered soul. She's going to really push ahead and help out in so many ways because she's also such a good kirtanier. I need her to also be on stage and sing with Gitanjali. And so all of us, we all have to pull together and really work well. Book distribution has to go out. Bhakti Sara is going to be with Gopa Brindesh. She's going to have to make sure that the books are going out. So we all have our responsibilities, and I'm really looking forward. What to speak of Summer Mahini? She's going to be heading up the cooking classes. Summer Mahini. So we've got some fantastic South American dishes going to be prepared. And the other cook, we tried to get Korma Prabhu, but he can't come. So guess who we're getting? We're getting, Jai Sachi Prabhu is cooking all the halva and the pakoras and all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be a great festival, but we need your support.
The other area, and I'll quickly finish up, the other area that I really want to talk about is because we're getting so many people from Melbourne, like the entourage that's coming from Brisbane, there's five young kids coming. We've got three coming from Brisbane. We've got Gitanjali and her people coming. So, and we've got other people that are going to come. What we really need, and we're asking the Grihastha community, is there any way that you can perhaps accommodate a couple of people? So I'm putting it out there, and again, there'll be notices on the notice board. If you can accommodate somebody for one night, just one night, a place where they can sleep, it will save us so much. If we have to have motels for each and every person, it's going to cost a lot of money. And as I said, we really have to, we're already $10,000 down, we have to really minimise and really make this work. So I implore you all, please offer your assistance in this great adventure. Become superheroes. Get your Gandiva bow, and we'll destroy the ignorance of the masses at the St. Kilda Festival. Are we all into that? Rabbi Atra Ki! Rajaswami Ki! Srila Prabhupada Ki! Hitta Go Premanande! Thank you very much. Any comments or questions at all for Bruce? Just quickly. No? Terrific. Let's have prasadam. Arrivo!